Believe it or not, we still love doing this despite our inconsistency. And we're stoked to be back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 269 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake, and I'm joined online by my dear friend, Jacob Albert.
Hey there, Garrett. How you doing?
Doing all right, Jacob. Life's been a little wild in the last few months, but I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Doing well. Life has equally been wild the last couple of weeks.
For a second, I think you just said, my wife has been equally wild.
It did kind of sound like that.
Me, Jacob. First of all, imagine? Why wasn't I invited to the wedding? Or you've had a wife this entire time, all these years.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? Like I just never told you. Like how I never told you that I used to play WoW in high school.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised. Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
That's funny.
So life has been wild for you too, you said?
Yeah. Yeah. Just been, it's mostly just been work related. Just been doing extra work, been getting raises and doing more work. So it's been good and bad.
That's good. Yeah. Responsibilities, man, have been the detriment of this video game podcast, which you know is far more important than life's responsibilities. But
it's so unfortunate.
That is the
unfortunate
truth. So do I.
Seems like just one of us are available most weeks. Like we'll send a text in our little chat and like, hey, can you do the podcast today? It's like, no, I'm busy all day. And then another week will go by. Hey, can you do it this week? It's like, oh, can't do it again. Only one of us are
always
home.
One of us. So. And that's the thing, too. It's always with a goal in mind of trying to include Preston as well, because he's by far the most tied up out of the three of us. Not that we all aren't individually busy, but he's just constantly out of town. So it makes it especially hard for him.
Yeah.
But he's with us in spirit as always. And I think I'm seeing him next week. We're going to go see the Northmen, I believe. Pretty stoked for that. Yeah, Preston's doing well also. I've been keeping in touch with him. So all is well on the Preston Pugh front. Big news from him that I'm sure he'd be happy to share that we're going to talk about ourselves here in a bit is he's platinum Elden Ring twice on PS4 and PS5, which is both a remarkable achievement. But I was talking to Jacob before we began recording. It kind of makes me sad. I mean, he probably wouldn't feel this way. But from my perspective, I think, how could you possibly savor a game of that scope and platinum it that quickly twice? It just makes no sense to me because Jacob and I have been taking our time with it. I've savored all the little moments, all the vignette stories I have from my adventures. Mm-hmm. I have like just these gorgeous paintings in my mind of locations I've been to and bosses and characters and weapons and armor. And maybe Preston's just built different. He can just remember all of that vividly, blowing through it that quickly. But something I've enjoyed about Elden Ring is not only just the depth and scope of the game, but I'm just constantly discovering new things that just keep me coming back and enjoying every moment. So I'm loving the slow burn adventure I've been on.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here trying to understand why someone would want to play on PS4 after they play on PS5.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Apparently the frame rate on the PS4 version is far more consistent than PS5. It's just a FromSoft thing. You know, they've never had... I mean, not that their presentation is ugly, because the art design is gorgeous in the game. I think it's a beautiful game. But in terms of just visual fidelity and performance, that's never been their strong suit, which I don't think is necessarily that big of a deal for their game. And not to just excuse like poor performance. I know like both on PS5 and PC at launch were relatively rough, but I really haven't had a problem with PS5 whatsoever the whole time.
I mean, So when the game first launched, PC was having a lot of issues, but probably for at least 2 weeks now of casually playing, I've had barely any stuttering at all. So it might have just been a deal where I was like downloading something at the same time and I didn't know it. But I've heard other people have problems on PC, but just for me, I haven't had problems lately. So I think they've patched it a few times and might be doing better.
Yeah, that's good.
My experience has been pretty good thus far. I'm on PC, so I'm not really having frame rate dips. So it's been pretty stable. That's just my rig. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. But Jacob, fill me in on what's been going on in your life. You and I haven't had like a full conversation in many weeks. So I know we've both been busy with work. If that's the extent of it, we can just move on.
It kind of is,
but
if I'm being
that's
honest.
That's more or less been what it's been for me.
So an update on my hands a little bit. I did actually go to a rheumatologist about a week ago. And before that, I like had another blood test where I like actually went to a facility that specifically does blood work for like, you know, like they'll test your blood for like drugs and stuff, or it'll be like other stuff like medical conditions and stuff. So it's just like a facility that runs blood and does different tests on it. So I went to this place in like Johns Creek and had like 9 vials of blood taken. It was like the most I've ever had taken. And like, I remember walking out of there and I was like, feeling a little lightheaded. I was like, oh man, like I actually feel like I've lost a part of me after being here. But, I planned to take my lunch around that same time. So I just got back in my car and had a nice little sandwich. So I was feeling better after that. But, they ran all this tests and they can't tell anything's wrong with me. So we've, after all of this, we've learned nothing basically is what I'm saying. And, the doctor wanted me to go see a dermatologist for like my skin redness, because he thinks that would be something worth looking into. So, and a dermatologist is like a skin doctor. So mm-hmm. wants me to go see if a doctor that he recommends and wants to see what that guy has to say about it. But I mean, my hands have felt better, as I've mentioned the last couple of podcasts. So on that front, I feel like I'm doing better. So there's no worries of me not being able to game anymore, at least for right now. With my hands, I guess.
That's all that matters for your hands. So.
Exactly. And
if you lose that ability, you may as well just clock in early on life, because that'd be a disaster.
It was affecting my working out too. Like it was, I mean, you don't think about it, but your hands are actually pretty vital for everything you do. You kind of take it for granted. So when you like mm-hmm. actually have some like soreness or some like numbing pain, it's like, what is happening? This sucks. But you know, life's been good on that front. What else is new? Work is all the time now, it seems.
You said you got a promotion?
Yeah, kind of. Yes. Well, I mean, it is a promotion, but it's mostly just I'm in charge of more things. More things to are under
usually
my
what promotion
umbrella.
Means. Yeah. We're taking less responsibility off ourselves and putting it on you, and we'll pay you more to do it. Thank you. Yeah.
True. Well, I gotta eat.
Which something. Is kind of an honor and privilege, you know. I mean, I it's always a nice sign of respect when someone trusts you with more responsibility with anything. Yeah. You still liking that job? Yeah. You trying to find a new one still?
I'm still like, you know, keeping my options open. I'm looking cool. for something that fits, you know, a good fit for me. But I'm not like gonna jump into something that's, you know, gonna be less paying or if it's just a better job, something like that. You know?
Yeah,
I really would only take something if I thought the work would be probably a little less strenuous and something that would pay more, obviously. But
man, if only we could be pro gamers or full on YouTubers.
Just be a streamer.
That was the dream
man.
Once.
It was.
That was the dream once.
It could still be a dream. If you can dream it, you can do it.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
It requires tremendous grit and strength and dedication. Which shouldn't be undermined when encouraging someone to pursue their dreams, but it is possible most mm-hmm. of the time.
It's all about the grind.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
I haven't really gone out of town or anything like that. Life's been pretty boring, I'm being honest. But I'm keeping myself busy, playing a lot of games, watch a little bit of TV. Been watching some baseball. Been trying to get back into baseball.
Baseball!
It's been kind of
opening day already happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a week ago.
Dude, I wonder how much Braves tickets are now.
I haven't checked, honestly.
Dude, I can't even imagine.
I think they're decent. I don't think they're too bad. I mean, it'll depend on what seat you try to get. But
mm-hmm.
I think they've always been on the cheaper
end. That's the thing. I think watching baseball on TV is extremely boring, but the feeling of being at a baseball game is unlike any other. It's just one of the most American things you can do. Hot dog, beer, baseball game on a beautiful sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
I agree completely.
It's been many years since I've done that, though. I haven't seen a single Braves game since they went to Truist Park in all these years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I like the Braves. I mean, I grew up going to Braves games with my dad for years and was like a genuine fan as a child, but I kind of just grew out of my love for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's pretty cool they won the World Series.
Definitely.
UGA won as well, which is awesome. Nope.
It's been a good
year. If only the Falcons and Hawks could step up.
Oh, let's not get carried away. Falcons aren't even close. I mean,
Hawks came close last year. They did pretty good last year.
They're in the playoffs right now.
I think they just barely made it into the playoffs, from what I understand.
I think they're like the 7 or 6 seed or something.
Goodness. It's time to go Super Saiyan and finish strong.
We'll see. I wouldn't count on it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that by any means.
But nothing too new for me. I know you've been going out of town and stuff.
I have. I'm glad you're alive and well, Jacob. It really is good to see you.
I am actually really well.
Computer screen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd like, I can keep you in touch with when Preston and I go see that movie next week. I think it'll be probably next weekend or something. It'd be fun to all get together again.
Yeah, I'm usually free most nights on weekends. So I assume that's when you're going.
I'll keep you in the loop on that.
Yeah.
Also want to see Sonic.
Oh, I didn't see the first Sonic. Would that be a issue?
No, I don't think so.
I guess I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth watching because Jim Carrey's really entertaining in it. Mm-hmm. It's actually genuinely like an enjoyable movie.
Okay.
And I've heard like relatively mixed reviews on the sequel, but it's mostly positive. So I'm excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jacob, I'm doing well. I have trying to think of what I want to share. Work's been good, thankfully. I just work with the best dudes ever. I'm continue to be just grateful for that every single day.
That's awesome.
To the point where I have to actively be aware of how easy it is to just take, like you were mentioning with your hands, to take anything positive in our lives for granted. And that's the role I'm in with the group of guys I work with is something I hope I never take for granted, because I consider it like a tremendous privilege to work with these guys on the projects we do. And everything we do is just always a good time. Even if it's like a more mundane project, it's always fun because I just work with awesome dudes. So I'm thankful for that. And one of the more interesting projects we've worked on that we're all excited to see the potential come to life is a show called Matt Made. That's M-A-T Made. It's a show about jiu-jitsu primarily, but specifically how jiu-jitsu has impacted the lives of people who train jiu-jitsu and how it's helped them overcome like depression, anxiety, drug addictions, PTSD, this, that, and the other. And the show spawned through a gentleman named Kenny Kim. He is a jiu-jitsu black belt and has been training for over 25 years. He did martial arts even before that, but the last 25 years in jiu-jitsu. Owns a gym in Marietta. And over the years, he's been invited all over the world to teach and train at seminars. And at all these seminars, he's met people with just these incredible stories that they've have just gone through jiu-jitsu and it's helped them in amazing ways.
Yeah.
So he's had this idea for years, like, what if we documented these stories and shared them? So that's how the idea spawned, and one thing led to another. And a lot of miraculous, I feel like God-given ways led to where we are now, to where we're documenting these stories. And it's basically a reality TV show that's currently airing on YouTube with the goal of it being picked up by some bigger network or streaming service in the future. A lot of moving parts, a lot of people working on it, but I'm primarily a field producer and the editor for the show. And it's definitely one of the more challenging projects I've tackled. Just every episode's a little different, and editing something to that scope has been by far some of the biggest stuff I've edited, which is a good healthy challenge. So I've enjoyed the growth that's forced me into. I don't love to edit, but when I have to do something like that, it helps me to grow as an editor, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
That show's on YouTube.
Yeah, where can we check it out?
It's on it's called Matt Made. Okay, so Matt it's Made. It's still a small channel, but there's two episodes out. There's a bunch of little short stories, too, little bite-sized stories you could watch. But episode 1 and 2 are out. There's one that was in Nashville and one that we shot in Charleston. I think episode 2 is a drastic improvement on episode 1 just because we're figuring things out. We're still kind of discovering how we want the structure of the show to be as we go. With season 1, it's more of like the pitch season, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, cool stories in there. But that's been a fun project. Not too much. To segue off of your blood work story, this is kind of funny. I also had a lot of blood drawn recently because I'm seeing an allergist that's basically a witch doctor that's supposedly going to help me completely overcome my allergies. Yeah. And I went in for just kind of not really a checkup, more of like a get to know me, get to know the doctor, what's going on and where we're going to go from here type situation. So in order to get started, she needed to draw a ton of blood, which I was not remotely mentally prepared for. And so I had not eaten really anything that day. So I went in there thinking we're just going to chat and I'm going to leave and come back another time. But I was like on an empty stomach and was not prepared to have blood drawn. So that's the thing. I've never had a problem with gore, violence, like horrific imagery doesn't bother me. Blood doesn't bother me. But something about having blood siphoned out of me has always made me feel queasy for some reason.
Yeah.
That's why I've never really donated blood, because it just makes me sick to my stomach even thinking about it for some reason. So she told me she had to take 15 vials. And she said, I was like, and I was shocked. I was like, 15? She's like, well, normally we do 20 or more. But we're going to do 15 because I think we only need that much. I was like, holy crap. So I go into this room and there's a little chair where I'm going to sit in. And it's kind of an interesting and cool story at the same time. Well, I sit in this chair. She kind of like puts this thing over my waist and is about to stick the needle in me or whatever. And she's like, you sure you don't want to go? I told her, I was like, you know, I almost passed out once having, like, jokingly said, like, I almost passed out once having my blood drawn because I didn't have enough to eat. She's like, well, have you eaten anything today? I was like, not much. And she's like, do you want to go lay down in a chair just in case? And we can draw it there. I'm like, no, it'll be fine. She's like, all right. So she starts drawing it, dude. And not even 10 seconds later, I like start getting a little lightheaded. She's like, you okay? You're looking really pale. And I was like, I think something's going on. And I couldn't even finish what I was going to say. I was draining so quickly that the next thing I realize, I can barely open my eyes. And I like have no idea where I am, what's happening. My memory's gone.
Oh, no.
And I finally get my eyes kind of open. And there's like six old ladies standing over me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, what happened? I don't know where I am. I don't know what I was doing before this happened. So they help me lean up and I have no clue where I'm at for like a good 30 seconds. And I was kind of like concerned. It freaked me out. And then I remembered slowly, like, okay, I'm at the allergist. I was having blood drawn. And they said like 15 seconds and I'm drawing it. I completely fell out of the chair onto the floor. And the one miraculous thing is, which I thought was kind of cool, they eventually helped me get up and got to the chair and like fed me snacks and juice and stuff. So I actually had some sugar and energy, and then they were able to draw the rest.
You got your little juice.
Yeah. I had my juice box and crackers and everything. So anyway, the nurse who was drawing my blood said it was kind of a miracle. And this is always, I always believe in just the Lord looking out for me and just his children, is because in this room where I sat in that chair initially, they had the window behind me open because the air conditioner was malfunctioning that day. So it was completely open behind me. And she said when I first passed out, my head flung backwards, and had the window not been open, my head would have shattered through that window because my head fell back so quickly.
Oh my,
but the window happened
gosh.
To be open. So my head missed it completely. What? So I was like, that's a miracle. It was a reminder of like the Lord's looking out for me at all times.
Oh my gosh. But,
a lot of people may say like, oh, it's just a coincidence, but I believe in the divine grace of Jesus Christ. So my head was spared, thankfully. She was worried I was going to like have a bruise on my back because I hit the ground so hard apparently, but I was fine. So I had all my blood drawn and I'm going to find out the results tomorrow. That was like a month ago that happened. So
yeah,
going to find out how it's going tomorrow.
Yeah, I think maybe you should, you know, lay down next time you have some blood drawn.
Yeah, next time they got to draw that much blood, dude, I'm just going to kick back and relax.
It's not even how much, because you passed out after like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of blood drawn in the past, but I was just like, I had, you know, you need like food in your belly and sugar and stuff. Otherwise, they'll just like knock you out. Yeah. And I went in there on an empty stomach. So it got me quick.
Yeah, you got to be careful, especially now since you know that's how you sort of deal with it. Like, I'm sure you already knew that, but just got to prepare.
Yeah, good times, man, at the allergist. So
well, I'm glad that
stoked to go back.
I'm glad that I can actually, that doesn't happen to me. I mean, I felt a little lightheaded, but I didn't pass out. But I also had less taken than you. So, yeah. Did they do your left arm?
I did my right arm.
Okay. Well, that's what they did for me. And that, like, apparently the pain nerve is in your right arm. And they like told me that before they did it. Like, oh, we can't find it. You can't find a vein in your left arm. So we got to use the right one. And oh, by the way, this is where the pain nerve is. I was like, oh, great. This is going to feel great then.
Dude, just thinking about it again makes me sick to my stomach for some reason. Ugh.
Yeah.
So disgusting.
So not only was my blood, they took a lot of blood, but it was painful because they had to use the right arm. So I don't know if that was the case for you, but I definitely felt the little sting.
Hate it. But anyway, I can't really think of anything else notable from the last few months. If you want, we can just talk about what we've been playing.
I like that. We'll just jump into Elden Ring.
Yeah, I'll start with that.
I love Elden Ring. I don't get to play it nearly as much as I want to, but I absolutely love the game. I just got to the point where I can actually equip two-handed swords. So that's kind of the goal of this playthrough, was to just have two giant weapons. Like, I've seen people use two big hammers, and I don't know where to get those hammers yet, but I've seen a lot of people use those, and I want to use those just to test them out. But I'm using right now a claymore, and I forget the name of the other sword I'm using. It's just, it's like a big two-hand sword, but it has like double cross guard. It's kind of strange. But really just, I only have really one of them leveled up decently. The other one I just whip, so it's kind of low level. And I've only upgraded it twice. But it's still fun to just, you know, run around and swing two swords. And because I haven't been using a shield this whole time, so I've really just been using one two-handed sword. So it's not like I lost anything from equipping another one. But currently right now, without really giving any spoilers away, I started the Ronnie questline. And I'm sure you're familiar with it, Garrett, but I'm kind of several steps into that quest, and I am currently trying to make my way over to Radahn, which I have not fought yet. And I've heard the stories, I've seen videos of him. I know what's awaiting me in this Colosseum, this boss fight. So I'm really looking forward to it, honestly. And so I'm kind of just making my way over there right now, that area. So I'm in like the red deserty, like I guess it's the rot, the scarlet or whatever they call it, like destroyed that area. But it's just like a completely ravaged area. There's giant dogs that have huge heads. There's giant birds that are just vicious. Mm-hmm. I hate the birds, man. Like if they get a few hits off on me and like a good combo, like they kill me every time. Like they're just so hard to deal with. But in terms of boss fights, I haven't really struggled with any one boss fight in particular besides like Margit at the very beginning of the game. Like as soon as I got after that boss, like everything's just been kind of not easy, you know, but just kind of, it's only taken a few attempts, maybe 10 at most. But I would say the boss that came closest was probably Godfrey, but he wasn't really that tough. Let me think. I'm having a hard time like finding armor in the game. I don't know if that's been the case for you, but I've
found a lot of cool armor in a lot of like the hero grave caves.
Okay.
Where it has those chariots on those spiked wheels that can kill you. You have to dodge them and stuff. There's environmental puzzles in those areas. That's where I found the majority of the cool armor I have.
I gotcha.
Those places.
I see people with all these cool armor sets. I'm like, how are you getting these? Like, I'm not finding armor anywhere. So maybe
I haven't found any armor in any main areas. I found like my coolest helmet is like the wolf head helmet I have with like the long hair. I found in that place with all the spider fingers. There's not really there's a couple bosses in that area. There's not a main boss. I can't remember that name of that little castle. But
yeah, I recently went through there. I hate those hands. They're terrifying. Yeah,
they're freaky, dude.
If you just get behind them though, they're not too bad.
Yeah, but yeah, I got most of the cool armor I found has been in like side areas, like not really like simple caves with like, you know, go through the caverns and fight a boss at the end. It's more like the hero grave caves. I found the majority of the cool armor.
What do you mean by hero grave? What is that?
They're all called that. It's like hero grave this, hero grave that. There's actually one at the very start of the game where you're training. I think you need a sword key to get in there.
Okay.
Or two sword keys, maybe.
Is it like before you walk out into the open world?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly which spot in the area it's in where you're training, but there's one down there.
So I should go back and use a key, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't actually done that one, ironically. Okay. I've done a lot of the other ones two of the other ones in the open world that I found randomly. There's one by Volcano Manor, and there's one over by the Capitol as well. So, yeah, that's where I found cool stuff. And I won't lie to you, like figuring those places out can be a little frustrating, but once you get through them, it's worth it because you find cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I haven't had too many challenges. I've definitely come up against a couple of bosses where I could immediately tell I was underleveled and I'd come back later and just slaughter them.
Oh, yeah.
I always think of that. I think Girlfriend Reviews included it in their initial Elden Ring review, but that clip of Anakin from Revenge of the Sith where he's talking to Count Dooku and he's like, "My powers have doubled since the last time we met, Count." I've had that exact thought when I come back and fight bosses like that that tree horse guy at the very beginning of the game when you leave the cave.
Yeah,
I came back and just kicked his ass so quickly.
he's easy. Great.
So
that hand place with the little spider hands, there's another horse boss there. And he was, I would say he's probably a little more
challenging. You're talking about the one in that little pond with the chairs.
Yeah, he's like a spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was actually kind of fun. I enjoyed that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first fight that I used a summon for, like a spirit. Like, I hadn't used spirits at all the whole game until that moment. Because I was actually kind of struggling on that fight. Like, that was one of the fights that, like, took me 10 attempts. I was like, man, I can't, like, get I can't read this guy's moves like I usually can. So, and I, like, read somewhere, like, oh, we should try a spirit. Like, they can distract him for a second so you can get some hits in. I was like, oh, okay. And I did that once, and I just killed the boss. I was like, man, what have I been missing out on by not using spirits every fight? Because I always wondered, like, what those little summoning, like, posts are, those little, like, T-shaped posts. Because I always click them, and, like, I activate them, and I'm like, I have no idea what this even does. Like, I'm still at that point where I don't even know how the game works, it seems. Like, I'm still learning brand new things every time I log in.
So yeah, there's a lot really of mechanics enjoyable. In there that can be easily overlooked. Mm-hmm. Like, the Stakes of America, I keep forgetting exist. So I just have, like, that habit of when I die to a boss, I'm like, oh, Last Side of Grace, spawn there. Mm-hmm. But keep the Stakes of America in mind, because, for example, these hero graves, there's one by Volcano Manor that takes quite a while to get to the very bottom of. And you have to be very careful with, like, platforming and maneuvering. It's like, it's really about movement more than enemies. And you get to the bottom of, and you finally get to this boss room. You're like, finally. And then if you die to the boss and forget that you can spawn right next to the boss door of the Stake America, it puts you all the way back to the top of this place.
Oh my God.
And I think 3 or 4 times fighting this boss, I completely forgot that's a thing in the game, just not even thinking about it. And had to go all the way back down. And then I remembered, I'm like, I'm so stupid. I could have been spawning right next to the boss door this whole time.
That would be so bad.
Yeah. So always remember that's an option when you die to a boss. Mm. I'm just fascinated. I know people have just probably said this ad nauseum at this point, but I'm just blown away at how not only massive the world is, of course, but how diverse the world is, and just the views and the areas and the art design, how just intricate and majestic and gorgeous it is in so many different places. I'm like, how do they possibly, one, come up with all this, but interconnect it in a way that's so, I wouldn't even call it complex, but just interesting in a way where there's different routes to get to places and branching paths and secret areas and secret doors. And it's just unbelievable what they've achieved, especially coming off of Sekiro, which I still believe is one of their very best games by far, at least when it comes to combat. And a lot of that's kind of branched over to Elden Ring, which I was initially, when we first talked about Elden Ring forever ago, I hadn't played the game enough to understand that there were mechanics present from Sekiro in this game. So I really love Elden Ring's combat. There's just so many different ways to approach it, which is awesome. But I mean, I still think everything they've done before is incredible. But Elden Ring is just an unbelievable achievement in so many ways. And oh, yeah. That's why I love savoring about playing it slowly, is that every time I discover a new area, I'm just blown away all over again. And just exploring and fighting new enemy types and finding new gear and leveling and new boss challenges. It's just so much fun to play. And, it just all comes back to that Breath of the Wild feeling of it not holding your hand and just letting you do what you want to do whenever is the ultimate way to play an open world game.
Yeah, so. And I do love it. Like, the game does kind of tell you if you are somewhere where you shouldn't be, because you'll just get your butt kicked so quick. Like, it's not even funny. And, like, I feel like that's the game's way of telling you, hey, maybe you want to go do something a little easier right now. Maybe you don't want to fight this guy who kills you in one hit. Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that about it. I've also seen some just mind-blowing vistas. Like, I don't know if you remember the part in the Ronnie quest line where you, like, go down this well with, I think this is where you, like, talk to the wolf guy, but, like, mm-hmm. once you're down there, like, the skies are just, like, you're underground in this, like, weird
the purple and
cave.
Blue starry area. Skies
yeah, there's, like, the stars are everywhere you look. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I think mm-hmm. that's, like, where you're supposed to go in the quest line. Like, you're supposed to unlock that bridge that, like, you can, like, continue through that area. But yeah, that's just one of, like, the most awesome places I've been. Like, pretty much anytime you get to a cliffside, you can see, like, a giant golden tree out in the distance that just illuminates the whole area. And I know, like the Elden tree is, like, really important in the story, and, like, it's tied to a lot of different endings in the game. So I'm really excited to see, like, which one I end up going down, because I assume there's, like, just tons of different endings.
I like seeing stuff in the distance too, and trying to figure out how to get to whatever it is that grabs your interest. Mm-hmm. It's always fun.
Yeah. How far are you into the game?
Story-wise, I couldn't tell you. I've defeated a lot of the main bosses so far. So I haven't fought Melania yet. That's probably my next main boss. But I've been running around the capital recently. And yeah. I've pretty much done everything. Aside from like secret areas I haven't discovered yet. Like all the main areas I've been through for the most part.
Yeah. You know what I also really like? I love returning to the round table area and like seeing like new faces or just people have different dialogue. Like I love like kind of progressing the character development of those people that just chill at the round table. I keep mentioning the Ronnie quest because that's what I'm currently doing. And like I started talking to this, I think he's like a sorceress or something that sits on the balcony of the round table area. And he has like a sack of, I think he has a spider sack growing out of him. Like, I don't even understand why. This dude just has a spider sack growing out of his lower torso. And he's like talking about Ronnie and like the fate that awaits if I a conquest or whatever. So it's just like, oh, this guy has something to do with this. And he wants me to go do this other thing for him. But it's like, oh, should I do this or should I help this other person that I'm helping? It's like, you can kind of just pick what you want to do and pave your own path, which I really love about the game. You can kind of either do a quest for somebody or you can just completely ignore it. It's fine. I mean, if you ignore enough stuff, you might get a different ending, but I kind of just like about it. I like that about this game because you can just kind of choose how you want to play it. You can pick any weapon you want, level it up. It'll probably get you through the game. And it's just fun to experiment with different stuff. Like I've been having some fun with fire magic. Like my intelligence is really low, but sometimes I'll just throw fireballs just to whittle certain enemies down or just because it's fun, you know. But primarily I'm just doing like a strength build. I don't know about what actually are you using, Garrett? I want to ask, like, what weapons?
I'm just using my longsword, man, from the very beginning. Sword.
Okay. Why are you using the starting weapon?
Because you can level it up and it kicks ass. It's by far my best weapon, yeah.
Okay.
I've used others that I've leveled up, like some heavier weapons and stuff just for fun, but my longsword still is by far my most powerful weapon.
Are you using a shield?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Have you found any cool shields?
I found a ton of cool shields. I leveled up one I found near the very beginning. It's just been fine.
Gotcha.
I mean, my armor is really cool. I have really cool armor, but weaponry is pretty standard.
Do you parry a lot?
Not often, no. I honestly don't. Gotcha. I know the game encourages that, but it's like, I just don't have the patience to like really master that. If it's like a really slow enemy, I can parry them. But if it's someone who's like spamming an attack, I'm not going to even try.
Sometimes I watch this guy on Twitch that is like, he's so good at parrying. So I like watch him fight a boss and the boss will like wind up for a quick stab or something. Then like he'll just go, bing, stun the boss and he'll just destroy his health.
I haven't messed with the Ashes of War too much. I think it's a cool mechanic, but they're kind of whatever to me. I've seen some funny ones and some cool ones, but haven't played with those too much.
Yeah, I play with them a little bit. Like I'll use one for a little bit, then I'll just be like, I'm kind of bored of this. I'll try a different one. So it's really just me experimenting for the most part. I like the giant blue sword that you can use. Have you gotten that one?
I have not.
Yeah, you can just like you just press your bumper and you just whip out this giant sword and do a huge slash. It's fun. Nice. But it scales with intelligence though, so it doesn't do a whole lot of damage for me because my intelligence is low. But it's still fun. Like anytime I get a new Art of War, I try to like see what it does. So I'll like test it out.
Yeah. I love that the game, I mean, I feel like most games that are designed well don't discourage experimentation like that. And there's no harm in trying really. Obviously, if your character can handle whatever it is you're trying to use, it's always fun to play around with that stuff. So,
Yeah, I just really love the game. I'm going to try and put some serious work into it this weekend because I have a little time.
Yeah, I'd like to play it a little more this weekend. I might be able to squeeze in a little today.
Yeah, I got some time to play today, so I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is work out, and I'm free.
Same. That's kind of my goal. So, but yeah, Elden Ring's awesome. What else have you been playing?
I've only been playing one other thing. Do you want to guess what it is?
I have two guesses. World of Warcraft?
Yes. How did you know?
Okay. I mean, what else would it be, honestly? If it's not that, it's got to be that Lost Legacy
what
game.
What else would it be with
Lost
you?
Ark.
So I returned to the game back in, God, was it April? March? I don't know when it was. It was after our last podcast, I think. So I jump back in for the new patch. New patch has been really fun. New area to explore. It's like the creation. It's like the area where the Shadowlands, which is the expansion, was created. So it's like the factory, basically, of the afterlife. But this evil dude's going there. He's trying to unmake reality. Blah blah blah. There's a new raid. There's new like dungeon difficulties, new gear. They added tier sets back in the game, which has been fun. So like a tier set is like when you get this gear that like alters how you play your class, basically. So you'll like change how like the priority of moves that you would use, or your class just does different effects or different abilities just by, you know, playing your class. And it just gives you a big DPS, which is like damage. It'll just give you a big boost, basically. So it's been fun. Like there's been like a nice, fun, consistent like player power increase throughout the last few weeks that we've been playing. So it's been a lot of fun. And I have like a group of four other guys that I run dungeons with. Basically, they're called Mythic Dungeons. And we basically, you know, a few nights a week, we'll just grind for a few hours a night. We'll just, you know, get a bunch of Mythic Keystones and we'll just grind dungeons and see if we can time them and try to increase our score, which has been a lot of fun. We've gotten to the point where we're doing like 20s, which is like they go from level 2 to they infinitely scale, but it gets to a point where you can't do them because the bosses are hitting so hard. So like the best players in the world are doing like 28s right now, 29s. And these guys are like, you know, they get paid to play the game. Like they're on like sponsored guilds and teams for the game, but like we're just like they're doing like 28s and 29s right now. We're doing like 20s, so we're quite a step back, but we're still like at the point where if you're not doing things correctly or like getting your interrupts in or doing enough damage, you're gonna get killed by these bosses. And everything's on a timer, so you have to be like efficient and like do things effectively. So I'm still playing my rogue.
Sounds exhilarating.
It is. It's actually, it's a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining it, but I play a rogue. So I'm like the rogue in a, like a dungeon team is like, it's responsible for like, you know, giving everyone stealth for skips to get past mobs. They distract enemies from like approaching you. They can stun enemies. They can kick them to interrupt them. So like the rogue class that I play is like a lot of utility base, and it can also do good damage. It's just cool because like in a dungeon team, like everyone has their own role and you're like working together to complete this objective by each doing what your class does best. So like the better you know your class and how to play it, the more, you know, if the better you're going to be for your team. So it's just been a lot of fun and I've been enjoying that a lot. But that's where primarily a lot of my gaming time has been going right now. I haven't really been playing much besides that. Anytime that I'm not doing that with them, I'm playing some Elden Ring.
That sounds like a whole lot of fun, Jacob.
It is fun, man. I love it.
And the only other thing I played just very sparingly is Infinite Multiplayer with Zach. We played last night for the first time in like 3 or 4 weeks, just because his second son was born, so he's been out of commission for a while. Mm-hmm. Totally understandably, but got back to Infinite and played a little last night, and what little they've shown of Season 2 looks fine. More cosmetics, 2 new maps, which I don't think is nearly enough, unfortunately. But it is what it is, so we're riding out that storm. But we may jump back into Master Chief Collection here pretty soon and play with that, because there's just so much more stuff to do in that game, and it's still just a ton of fun to play old Halo. So that is all I've been playing. Jacob, you want to talk about what's going on in the news?
Yes, I do.
Hogwarts Legacy, OG Box Muncher wrote in and says, after seeing the state of play for Hogwarts Legacy, how do y'all feel about the game? Even more hype?
Even more hype. I don't know about that. I mean, the hype never went away. So it's just been constant hype. But I saw... Yeah,
strange thing for me is I don't think I'm even hyped at all, which is weird. Really? Because I think it looks good. We're going to obviously talk about it a lot, but it almost looks exactly how I expected it to. Mm-hmm. Which, so it didn't really change my interest. I'm very interested. I'm excited to play it, but I wouldn't say I'm like eagerly anticipating it. I'm not like freaking out, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like I am hyped for it, but it's like keeping your hype in check because it's like we have no idea when it's even coming still. I mean, we know like
I'll be impressed if it comes out this year like they claim it is.
Yeah, we'll see. Wait, I thought they delayed it till next year, didn't they?
I think it's supposed to be holiday this year.
I gotta look it up real quick.
Yeah, I think everything they showed looks really cool. I mean, Hogwarts, I'm glad that it looks a little like the movies, but they've definitely put their own spin on it, especially with dungeons and whatnot. But even the common rooms look really beautiful. Castle itself, exterior and interior, look really fun to explore.
It does.
Combat looks, some people think it looks a little stiff, and it kind of does look a little stiff, but we don't really know exactly what it feels like until we play it.
It's kind of hard to say.
Mm-hmm. But the RPG elements sound really cool, you know, like leveling up through exploration and classes. And I'm hoping that there's like build types. I think we've speculated on this in the past, but like my wizard is primarily potions based, so I can get all these buffs and benefits from potions. I'm sure you can do that regardless, but maybe you can cater to like, I want to be a potions master that really makes me this type of powerful, or I want to be purely defense against the dark arts or charms. And if you focus and level up particular spells, really give you different benefits and approaches to combat.
Yeah.
And I think you and I talked about this before we began recording. It'd be cool if there's so much depth to the game that replayability is heavily encouraged, to where your wizard or witch build can be pretty unique. And it also encourages you, like, naturally, of course, I kind of want to be Gryffindor my first playthrough. I don't know how it's going to play out in the beginning, but all those common rooms look really cool. And supposedly there are different characters you can meet. So if there are somewhat different story paths, depending on what house you land in, I'm sure they all lead to the same conclusion relatively. But if there's different characters and different objectives or side missions you can explore being in a different house, it'd be cool to have that motivation to replay the game with an entirely new character. So we still know exactly how you're sorted. It just says at the beginning you're sorted into a house after creating your character. I would be disappointed if Diagon Alley's excluded. I mean, it's cool that Hogsmeade is in there, but I've always had that fantasy of, you know, getting your letter as the start. You create your character and you immediately receive your letter to Hogwarts. And then if you want to just jump straight to Diagon Alley after that, by all means, but it'd be cool to start there. And I feel like that's the perfect way to introduce the tutorial of a game. It's like you get your school supplies, you have little side missions you can go on, you meet a couple of characters, you get your wand, it teaches you the basics of combat when you get your first wand. There's so many things you could do with a tutorial there.
I completely agree. I think that'd be perfect for a tutorial. Like, it just makes so much sense. I wonder if it will be in the game, though. Like, I think they would have mentioned that, don't you think? Like, I feel like that'd be something you would highlight.
They seem to be focused on the mostly the core moment-to-moment experience with that initial preview. I know we got a glimpse of someone playing Quidditch, but it looks, they didn't mention Quidditch at all. I feel like if it was a big part of the game, they would have mentioned it. So probably no Quidditch, which is a bummer. I was really hoping for that. I mean, yes, you can ride a hippogriff, you can ride a broomstick, which is cool, but I would have loved a Quidditch or a Quidditch game in there. But no worries. I think everything they've shown looks really cool. I just hope it's a fun, it looks like a fun, magical, almost fable-like experience, which is exactly what I've imagined for a game like this for Harry Potter, because Chamber of Secrets and Prisoner of Azkaban, those games back in the day, while they aren't perfect, I love them because they kind of gave me that fable feel that Fable 1 gives.
Yeah.
So if it has that magic, happy, joyful feeling while you're playing, I think it's going to be awesome.
I'm sure some parts will, definitely, like while you're in the castle.
It seems to have that vibe for sure.
I don't remember exactly what you said about the combat, but I think it actually looks pretty good. Like,
I don't think it looks bad at all. I think it looks cool. I just know some people have said the way like your character like kind of jolts in different directions to cast spells. It looks like it can be stiff.
I mean, he kind of like sometimes he'll like do a little spin to like do a cast or something of a spell.
Mm-hmm.
He'll like do like a 360 or something because he's like winding up a spell. But I think it looks like the animations look good for the game not even being done yet.
And I'm assuming it'd be cool to hear them say the spell name, like maybe when you first cast it, but obviously I don't want them to spam saying it. You imagine it's like stapify flippendo like over and over and over again.
Or
so
maybe
it'd be
it's
good
just like every off so often you use it, like not every time, something like that.
Like, it'd be cool if like the first, like say I want to cast stupefy, your character says it once, and then if you're like using that spell over and over and over again, they don't keep saying it. Exactly. I'd be fine with that. Like, it's cool if you use Lumos and they say it once and it's up. So, or like Reparo or
Flipendo. And it seems like you can, like you, there, like you, there's different, there's like unique professors. There's, you actually participate in class, like you do little activities and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. I want to like have to get to class. It'd be cool. And like, I've had that fantasy too of like, well, what if you skip a class for a different opportunity that's going into the Forbidden Forest or going to the or restricted section of the library for something? If you miss a class, while you may not level up this particular thing at that moment, maybe you're getting some other benefit by doing this mischievous thing, which is kind of like Harry Potter in the movies and the books, is like he'll go off and do stuff that he probably shouldn't be doing, but it leads to like an objective they need to complete.
Yeah. I have a feeling that it's going to be like mandatory to progress like the days just to show up to class. That's just a feeling I have. I don't know if you'll be able to skip, but I like the idea. I'm not trying to like kill your dreams or anything.
No. I get that completely. I'm like my mind's bouncing all over the place. It'd be cool if the combat sort of had, stick with me on this, a Doom Eternal inspiration in the sense that every enemy type has to be dealt with a certain way. So let's say you're surrounded by a bunch of different people. Let's say this particular wizard or monster or guard, whatever it is, before you can really deal damage, you have to disarm them with like Expelliarmus or something. Mm-hmm. And then maybe this guy over here, you have to use Wingardium Leviosa to like levitate something else to deal with him. So you're constantly having to think on the fly of who needs what spell. I think that would keep it really fresh.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
It's just like, oh, you know, like cast whatever spell you want and just spam and kill enemies. Like it'd be cool if it's a little more strategic, I think.
Yeah, I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. That would certainly make the combat more engaging, I think, instead of just, I really like this spell, so I'm going to use this spell all the time because it's really good. Like, and I only use the spell. Like, that would just be boring. Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool to like grind for some stuff too. Like, if there's a broomstick in Hogsmeade that's for sale, it's faster or something than your current one. Or maybe there's like a contest, It'd be cool if you go to Hogsmeade and go to the Three Broomsticks or something, or whatever bars in Hogsmeade. And there's a guy that's like a wizard's chess champion or something. He said, hey, if you can beat me in this wizard's chess tournament, you can win this new broomstick or win this cosmetic item or something. It'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like give purpose behind, like it'd be fun to just play wizard's chess in general, just because it's part of the game. But if they gave purpose to that, or like someone like during study hall hours is in the Great Hall, where people are just hanging out and they're playing wizard's chess or doing something else that will reward you with something if you overcome it. Even just like stupid, meaningless stuff that just make you feel more a part of the world. If you go to like the joke shop or something in Hogsmeade and you buy some like firecrackers, and you can just toss them at students and they like get annoyed or something. Just stupid stuff like that that doesn't really matter, but just kind of makes you feel more alive in the world.
Yeah. There's also a lot of like magical beasts and stuff too. Like there's things you can interact with. I know that there's one time that they pull out a mandrake in the trailer.
Yeah.
It like startles enemies. I think that's really cool.
It'd be cool too if you kind of have to grind to like find ingredients for Polyjuice Potion. Let's say there's like a side mission you could do that kind of requires that, or even a main mission. It'd be cooler if it's like, all right, we need to make Polyjuice Potion and it does it for you. It'd be cool if there's like a quest to go find the ingredients. And along that quest, it's pretty lengthy. Like you go into a dungeon and go through this whole dungeon to get one of these ingredients, or go to this dangerous area and get another one. Like stuff like that. I know we've gone down on these deep dives before, but just based on what we've seen, what they've shown, there's a lot of potential there still to unpack. But I think it looks beautiful overall.
I agree. Yeah, I think it looks, I mean, it doesn't look like the best game visually ever, but it looks more than fine compared to a lot of other games. I mean, it just
the room of requirement like stuff looks interesting. Interesting too, where you can, I can't remember exactly what they said is the purpose of that room, but you can have like your own secret area. Mm-hmm. To build and
I think
level
it's
up and everything.
Yeah, because like that room is always catered to the needs of what it needs to be.
Yeah.
I forgot exactly what they said that was going to be for. Like, because I forgot what you're even doing in the game. I think like, it's like that evil goblin or whatever. He's like trying to do something.
And
I don't know.
Go in as a fifth year, which is interesting.
But I'm like really excited.
I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I want to know how the sorting works. Because like I don't necessarily mind what house I'm sorted into. Like I really don't. I think they'll all be unique and interesting enough. But I wonder like how is it going to affect the people that you meet? Like, am I going to be best friends with this person because I chose or I got sorted into Ravenclaw? And like, would I not be friends with them otherwise? Like, those are the kind of questions I still want to know. Like, can I just be friends with any character that I see in class? Like, can I just bond with people? Like, is there some kind of like system where I just talk to them enough and they start to, you know, warm up to me? Like, those are things that I still want to know.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of set NPCs that are specifically designed as part of the main story, but I'm wondering the same thing about other characters, if there's even more you can interact with based on what house you're in would be cool too.
Part of me wants to be a Slytherin. I kind of just want to be Slytherin.
Yeah, I think just nostalgia will make me want to be Gryffindor my first playthrough.
I'm trying to refrain from that.
Yeah. It'd be such a disappointment if you create your character. It's like, all right, choose your house.
You're in Hufflepuff.
I really want it to really immerse you into that world. It's got to be based on like some decisions you made or something in the beginning. I'd be also disappointed if it's just like a series of questions, kind of like Mass Effect at the beginning. It's like, all right, where do you want to be from? I want to be a colonist. All right, what was your history? Oh, I was a soldier who lost his squad. That'd be disappointing at the beginning. It's like, all right, what kind of student do you want to be? And ask you all these like generic questions, and that's what sorts you. That'd be disappointing. I'd rather it be pure gameplay if possible.
I also am left wondering, like, how big is the open world going to be? I don't even know if it's open. It's there's just going to be a lot of areas that you can explore and like, you can
I'm
fly.
Assuming you can. They made it seem like you could fly from Hogwarts to Hogsmeade if you wanted to.
Yeah, I wonder how far away that is. You know, I really just don't understand the scale yet of this game.
Like, mm-hmm.
Am I just going to be able to fast travel to Hogsmeade whenever I want? Like, do I have to fly there?
Yeah, I'm assuming there'll be. Fast travel. I would imagine there is.
Yeah. Or it's like, can I only go there, you know, during the afternoon after class some days? Like, is it sort of set up like Fire Emblem where you can only do some things at some times? Or like you can only do activities? Like you have two activity points that you have and you can go do two things and that's it.
Yeah, kind of like Persona.
Yeah.
I think a Persona inspiration would really suit the game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Just with like activities and using your time in different ways. I wouldn't want to be forced into like, all right, you can only do one of these two things in this time slot. It'd be kind of a bummer, but something kind of like that would make sense to me.
Yeah. Or like something to like encourage you to experience different things in the game. Maybe like do two things you haven't done today and get extra experience or something. I don't know.
I also like how the seasons change. That's one thing I didn't want to overlook is that the seasons change throughout the game. I'm assuming as the story progresses.
Yeah.
And different opportunities, different things come up depending on the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
You're cool if there's like Christmas stuff at Christmas and like a Halloween type thing at Halloween.
Yeah, I wonder how many months the game takes place over. I guess multiple if it's there's multiple.
Yeah, I'm assuming
seasons.
It's a full school year.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
Especially if you're doing side activities that contribute to house points for your house, awarded the house cup at the end.
Yeah, I wonder if you can win the house cup.
That'd be cool if, like, it'd be a fun trophy, like, win the house cup. And it isn't that easy. Like, you really got to work for it. It'd be cool.
You don't get it handed to you at the end of the year like Dumbledore used to do to Harry.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you broke all the rules. Here's 100 points.
It'd be cool, too, if, like, you're doing a side mission and you get busted, like, sneaking around and you lose house points for that.
Ooh.
Like, maybe you don't necessarily fail the mission, but, like, oh, you lost house points.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of anything else from the trailer that really stuck out to me. I am excited. I don't want anyone to mistake me. I'm not like overly hyped, but I am excited. I think it's just because it's not very close. I think when we get closer, I'll be more excited.
I still feel like they need to show us a little more about like how do you play the game? Like
for sure. I want like a really minimal commentary, full uncut gameplay demo for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're guaranteed to get that toward launch.
I think from like what they showed, it's enough to keep people hooked and like interested in, you know, the news following the game and up until its release. I think people are pretty hyped still. And a lot of people that don't even like consume Harry Potter, I've seen speak highly about it. Like they'll be like, oh, I've never really been a big Harry Potter fan, but like this game looks pretty cool. Like,
yeah, you know, even to the most casual Harry Potter fan, I've noticed if you mention the existence of this game to them, they're immediately interested. Because yeah. What Harry Potter fan has never had the fantasy in mind of like, oh, I wish I could get my Hogwarts letter and go to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
That's basically what this game is. Mm-hmm. Finally. Yeah. Something Preston and I have dreamt about since we were children. So everyone I've told, even my mom's like, wow, that sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. So I am very, very excited to see how it all plays out.
Me too.
I was glad to hear the developers on Twitter after the game was officially revealed said that it's very much a passion project for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have full confidence that they're putting everything they can into it to the very best of their ability versus just like doing it because it was forced upon them, like Crystal Dynamics and Avengers. It's not one of those situations.
Yeah. We don't talk about that game.
This is a random thought. It's completely off topic, but I've been thinking about playing Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, purely just for the joy of it.
Really?
Just for the joy of it. Yeah, not even something I would like aim to fully complete anytime soon, but just something to jump into and just mindlessly play for fun. And I specifically want to play it co-op with someone. Mm-hmm. Just every now and then for fun.
I feel like that'd be fun.
And I think couch co-op would be the most fun for that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had that thought recently.
I played the Force Awakens Lego game back when there was like nothing to play on PS4. And I enjoyed that game a lot. Like there's parts in that game where you're like, you know, you're Rey or you're Finn, you have a lightsaber. You just get to kill a lot of stuff. It's fun. And I think you get to play as Kylo Ren. And I think like a lot of the canonical Star Wars characters are in the game. They're just in like separate little snippets or whatever, not related to the main narrative. But those Lego games are surprisingly like there's more depth in those games than you think. Like there's a lot of cool little, because you can go back and revisit levels and replay things. So you can like go back and unlock treasures. Like, so I think you can take like a party of one or two characters into any level once you beat the game. And there's certain puzzles or mechanics that only certain characters can perform. Like each like little like Rey can do a certain thing that only she can do to unlock something. So like you go back into levels and you unlock a bunch of like cosmetics or just like gold Lego bricks or something. Like yours, like there's like the depth there if you want to collect all the items or, you know, collect appearances or something. Like there's definitely a lot of game there if that's what you want. Or you can just play through the narrative and experience Star Wars in a Lego form, I guess. It's really what you want. But I would encourage people to actually check out a Lego game if you've never really played one. I think the Star Wars ones and the Avengers ones they're actually kind of fun. Like it's not necessarily something that I would play right now, but if you're looking for something to play, you have nothing to play right now, might be something that you enjoy if you like Star Wars.
Yeah, I love Star Wars, and even despite what I believe is mostly an atrocity, the sequel trilogy, I still love Star Wars, and Lego games in particular are very nostalgic for me because I played them growing up on PC. Like Lego Island 2 is embedded into my memory forever with Pepperoni! That was his name. And you do kickflips on his skateboard and be like, whoa! Look it up on YouTube. It's like perfect impersonations. But that's the first open world game I have memory of playing was Lego Island 2.
Why was his name Pepperoni?
Because he delivered pizzas. Yeah.
Wow.
So total bro, dude, riding a skateboard around. You go on a globetrotting, or like a world. It's almost like Kingdom Hearts. Like you go to different realms and worlds and do challenges. Like there's jousting and like a knight realm and like scuba diving and all kinds of stuff. I remember really loving that game as a kid. So yeah, Lego Star Wars has been on my mind. Jacob, tell me your reaction to the Kingdom Hearts 4 announcement. You're by far the biggest Kingdom Hearts fan in this group at this point. And I, in my mind, the canon ends with Kingdom Hearts 2. I haven't even played 3. It's kind of like with Halo, the original Halo trilogy, Master Chief's story is done, the rest is fan fiction. So what does this game mean to you?
It's not that 3 story is so bad that you need to pretend it doesn't exist. I don't know.
I just have a problem with perfect conclusive endings, and then they're like, let's do another one. Like, I get the fun you can have with the third one, probably, but...
Well, that's the thing, though. Like
narratively, it just ended too perfectly for me in 2 to carry on.
Well, that's the thing, you say that, but there were a lot of loose ends that they never tied up in 2. And then they made all those other games, those spinoff games.
Yeah, whatever.
They had all those loose ends. Like, they had to tie all that up in 3, which is what they did, kind of. it's no secret that the series is just a complete mess. And I hope one of their goals with the new... I assume this is going to be a trilogy. Like, I assume it's not just going to be 4. They wouldn't just make a new one if they were just going to make one more, I don't think. But did you see the trailer? Like, did you check it out?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. So it just seems like Sora is placed in a completely different world or reality. Like he's in like
it's like New Dong City, essentially.
Kind of, yeah.
What it looks like.
It just seems like he's in a different, like he's in like a actual city, like a real life city that you and me would find ourselves in. Except the Heartless, this giant Heartless are just attacking like a city. It's just like out of left field. I mean, not really like Heartless attacking, but just the environment that he's in. It almost looks like a Final Fantasy game. It's like that kind of conceptual art, which is kind of weird for Kingdom Hearts in a sense, because it's always been a little more cartoony with, obviously, because of Disney. And so I'm kind of interested to see, like, is the whole game going to take place in the city? I would assume not. This is probably just one stop on your journey. But Donald and Goofy do make an appearance. I think there's like a little tease of Hades at the end of the trailer. I heard someone speculating. So, you know, Hades is always a fan favorite in the game. I think three, so a lot of people don't like the ending of three, and I thought it was just okay. The game is just a mess, Kingdom Hearts 3. And I think they try to tie it together as best they could. But I hope four, like, they just focus on trying to make a simple, concise narrative. They don't need to try and have all these different main characters and intertwine all their storylines to mean the ending path. You know, like, they just need to, let's just focus on Sora, Donald, and Goofy. Like, let's just have them go save the world, boys, on a little journey. Yeah, just have a go save the world with the boys. You know, just we don't need
go
all this.
Some Disney characters and call it a day.
Yeah, just take me to Star Wars world. Give me a lightsaber keyblade. That's all I need. Just
let me go. The world's still waiting for that.
Please.
World peace will finally be established after the lightsaber keyblade comes into existence.
Oh, man, that would be the coolest weapon ever.
It would be cool.
I don't even care about the keyblade part. Just give me a lightsaber in a Kingdom Hearts game. Like, the combat in Kingdom Hearts has always been good. I will say that. Mm-hmm. They kind of like did some weird stuff with some, I forgot what they were called, but they were had like attractions built into the combat in 3.
Yeah, like the classic Disney rides and everything.
Yeah, like you could do teacups and hit a bunch of enemies. You could ride a train.
Interesting idea on paper, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it worked out really well because they were overpowered as crap, dude. Like, you activate when you kill everything. It's ridiculous. And all you would do is just press triangle. Like, you wouldn't control it or anything. It's just like a special action button.
Like, visually stunning, of course, but yeah.
And it's fun to watch like the first few times, then you do it 10, 15 times and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I'm done.
This is
enough. I'd rather just go ride Space Mountain.
Yeah. But I did want to ask you, like, how likely, because a lot of people thought Star Wars or Marvel IP were going to be in 3, but they weren't. Do you think that they would be, you know, this is completely just speculatory, but do you think they might actually do that this time around?
Maybe. I mean, I think it's more likely than ever. I mean, just given the realistic nature of that first world Sora is in, like, mm-hmm. the hyper-realistic approach they're taking. Granted, the game's still very early in development. It could change a bit, but I think they specifically said, like, it's designed that way intentionally. So I feel like if you go to a Star Wars world, it may resemble that art style more than, like, a cartoony one. So maybe, I mean, obviously the game, again, is very early, but I'm hoping they redesign Sora or at least give him a new outfit or something toward the beginning of the game, because I feel like he's been rocking the black since Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, they need to mix up his outfit again.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong, he looks cool, but I just hope they give him a new look.
You know what my favorite thing from 2 was? I love the limit breaks, like, where you could, like, change your form. You have, like, a new costume on, and, like, one form you had double keyblade, the other one you had, like, increase magic damage, or you would like slide around on like mist or something.
Yeah,
like they were just like a
man.
Like,
I
cool
loved Kingdom Hearts 2, dude. That is such an awesome game. I can't believe I haven't played 3. Preston scared me off from playing 3. Had nothing really good to say about it at all.
I mean, 3 is fun, but I don't know if it's worth playing.
I'd rather just watch a really in-depth video essay on 3, I think.
Yep. I mean, watching like a walkthrough. That's how I used to consume all the Kingdom Hearts games, like back when they weren't on PS4, or like the only way you could play them was on PS2 or like DS for the Game Boy ones. Like, I would just watch, I had a YouTube channel that I would watch him play through all the games, and I would, like, that's how I kept up with the series. Like, that's how I like reminded myself of the story, because it's just so ridiculous. I mean, my fandom of Kingdom Hearts has definitely fallen off after 3 a little bit. I don't nearly think about it as much or want to play them as much as I used to. But, and that might just be a case of me just losing interest or just getting a little older and not caring as much. But I mean, that the first and second game will always have a special place in my heart. Like, just the time of life I was in and the kind of games they were, they just really appealed to me.
I still feel the burn when I watch the ending of Kingdom Hearts 2, where they're on the beach and Kyrie reaches out her hand to grab Sora's, and he grabs hers and the stars in between their hands.
Yep, young love.
And they're like, we're home. After that grand adventure in 2 games, it's so beautiful.
Yep. You do get to see more of her in 3, which is good. So if you like Kyrie, then, you know, I think she is actually in a lot of combat too. So, and she has a keyblade for some reason.
Cool.
Yeah. So I feel like keyblades. Cool. There's more keyblades. Keys.
Keys.
I do that at work sometimes. Like, so we have like a bunch of route keys that all, like, we have different routes that go to different areas of Atlanta. Sometimes I have to sort new keys onto the key rings. And if anyone's in the room while I'm doing, I'll just go, keys, keys.
What is that from again? Where did we get that?
I have no idea. I think we just started saying it.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 4 is being developed in Unreal Engine 4, but will be wrapped up in Unreal Engine 5. Speaking of which, the new Witcher game from CD Projekt Red.
Oh, baby.
Supposedly a brand new character, which I'm looking forward to. I think it'd be cool if Geralt had a presence in the game, but he isn't the main character.
Yeah, he's an old fart.
Yeah. Like, but also being developed in Unreal Engine 5, which is the first time they're not using their proprietary engine, I believe, which would be cool. Hopefully that means there'll be significantly less bugs at launch, like most of their games tend to have. They end up winding up in a great place eventually, but it'd be cool to, right out the gate, be a pretty solid, beautiful package. So yeah, not much to really think about there. I trust that they'll develop a great game. I think CD, or even though I really couldn't get into Cyberpunk, I think after all was said and done, and it was for the most part, development was finished. It's a fine game. But I still think Witcher 3 is their magnum opus, and I look forward to seeing what they do next with the next one.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it'll not be first person.
Yeah, let's avoid that this time for sure.
Yeah, not that first person's bad. I think they are just, they were really good at third. Like, I don't know why they tried to do Cyberpunk in first. Can you even go in third in Cyberpunk? I don't think you can.
I think someone did some mods. Someone modded it and you can, but... Yeah, I think there was a story that initially it was third person, but a new director came in and made it first person. Whatever, dude. I want to skip the movie bit I plugged in there. Let's just talk about the Halo show for a second.
Oh, God. I haven't heard good things, Garrett.
I don't like it at all. I think it's remarkably boring to the point where I'm impressed at how boring they've made such an awesome IP.
That's bad.
That's the thing. When I put myself in the writer's room, the shoes of the people in the writer's room for this show, with knowledge that they intentionally avoided looking at the games, I understand what they mean by that, because they don't want to just completely recreate the story from the games. I understand this is the Silver timeline. It's different. But even being in a different timeline, it's still painfully boring to sit through. There's just a lot of bland, boring characters. Master Chief is so boring. And I get that writers are like, we're going to make this sci-fi show that's a really popular IP, appeal to the masses. And I can imagine them with having zero knowledge of who Master Chief is, and like his whole deal being like, look at this big stoic army man who's sort of like a robot. Let's give him some humanity, which you can still do and still get in the games.
Hey, in their defense, they do show his ass. And
yeah, plenty.
You know, there's that.
And I'm not even hung up on the fact that they show his face a lot. I just think the way they've written him is so boring and uninteresting that I just don't care at all. And not really interested in the plot whatsoever. I mean, the opening action scene in episode 1 is fine. There's some cool moments. I like the brutality of it. But that's been the only action scene in 4 episodes. I think like the subplot with this girl wanting to fight with a rebel alliance or whatever on her planet is super boring. There have been like some moments that are relatively interesting, like dialogue between Spartans and like seeing like an elite dissected and them looking at Covenant weapons, and little moments like that are cool. But overall, man, I've just been bored to death watching it. And I'm only watching it at this point just to see where it goes. But I think it sucks for the most part.
Yeah, that's just super disappointing to me, because like I remember us talking about it a couple months ago, and, you know, all of us were fairly interested in wanting to see the show and what it could possibly be. Like, we thought, like, I don't know. Like, it's just disappointing. Like, how can, like, when you told me that there's only, like, one combat scene, like, at the very beginning, like, that shocked me. I feel like that's such a big part of Halo, is just, like, the moment-to-moment, like, interactions between, you know, Chief and all the different alien races that are, like, doing whatever they're doing. Like, I just feel like that's what Halo is. It's never been about, like, you know, how the humans are, like, the economics of the world of Halo, or like them trying to build up other characters necessarily. It's always been more about Chief. Like, it's Chief's story. So, like, I guess I kind of understand what they're trying to do. Like, trying to make the world, they're trying to, like, establish a world that Chief is in. But I don't know. Like, I haven't seen the show myself, so I can't really speak much to it. Just seems disappointing. If you as a Halo fan don't find it very interesting, then I'm certainly not going to find it interesting.
I think it's boring to the point where you'd be better off just reading either synopses, whatever the plural word of that is, or just watching a YouTube video recapping it is better than watching the full episode. Unfortunately, man, it's just not even fun to watch. That's the shame, too, because Zach and I talk about this a lot. I mean, I think about Halo Landfall, which is one of the ad campaigns for Halo 3 of an ODST squad fighting off a bunch of brutes, is so sick. And Neil Blomkamp directed that back in the day, and it's still 10 times better than anything the Halo show has done on Paramount. And Zach and I have talked about, you know, there's so much potential with the Halo universe to make interesting stories. Like one example we've talked about is having a band of brothers like that, the show Band of Brothers in HBO World War II. Have that inspiration of characters with an ODST squad that are essentially have a singular mission through the season of either get through this planet or get to this place, save this person, whatever their objective is. And it's like this band of brothers that you get to know over the course of these episodes, really dramatic bond that they have. And like, of course, if someone like dies, it's a big deal. And like, I think Save It Private Ryan of a squad that has an objective and they're moving through a place together. Very, very much shot. Like Halo Landfall. And if you want Master Chief in the show, you can still include him and then satisfy the fans with he has a presence. And you don't, that's the funny thing too, is the shame about, I'm kind of going on a tangent now, but the actor who plays Master Chief is genuinely a really phenomenal actor, but Master Chief in the show is written so poorly and in such a boring way that man can't even shine at all with his acting ability because it's just so stupid. Yeah. So you could cast great actors in the role of ODST squad members that take their helmets on and off and you really get to know them and they really get to utilize their acting ability, and you can still have Master Chief in the show but just cast a no-name body double that's just this big dude in the suit and then have Steve Downes from the Halo games voice him. That satisfies the fans. You include Master Chief, but he's not the focal point. Like he has a presence in the show, but the focal point is on the more human, naturally human ODST characters instead of forcing Spartans to be more human. It's just so... It's like such a terribly missed opportunity to me. You can make so many different, more interesting storylines in that universe, and they've just completely blown it. It's so sad.
Why does it seem like everything Halo related has just been disappointing, like for the longest time now? It just seems
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. I think it's just, I mean, Microsoft obviously has control of the IP, but 343 is ultimately at the helm, and they've definitely mishandled it over the years. There's so many complexities to 343 and Microsoft and the Halo IP and then wanting to make it broadly appeal to the masses. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, I still really love Halo as an IP, and I love the original trilogy, and I don't hate Infinite. I think Infinite, there's a lot of disappointments.
I feel like Infinite's a good game. Like, it's just how the multiplayer is right now. It's just... doesn't feel like the system.
Even the campaign's kind of like hit or miss in a lot of areas. It's not a perfect game by any means, and still needs a lot of work. But I think over time, Infinite's going to be fantastic. It's just going to take a long time to get there. But it's just a bummer with the Halo show because it's been in development for so long. The writer claims he wrote like 250 plus drafts of the scripts, and then I'm watching this show. I'm like, this is the best you can come up with in 250 drafts. You got to be kidding me, dude.
Oh no.
Like I wholeheartedly believe that pitch I just mentioned, the ODST squad meets Band of Brothers with Master Chief has a presence that you don't even see him that often, would be 10 times better than what they're doing. 10 times better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's disappointing.
It's a shame. It's just completely just out of touch writers. Classic example of just out of touch writers.
Oh,
I don't like to be negative either, but I'm passionate about Halo, so it's disappointing to have a show suck as much as it does.
Yeah, especially when you're like really excited for it.
Anyways, Jacob, that brings us to Ask IOG.
Oh boy.
Ask IOG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media, at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, or emailed to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. And if you want your question read live on the show, always include the hashtag AskIOG. First one comes from 32 Speedster, old Sam Harris.
Oh man.
He says, gents, how goes it? It's been a while. I've been busy joining the Army, doing basic training, and now doing my job training. At basic, I had no access to games or entertainment, and it wasn't too bad. Now that I have access to a cornucopia of media options, it feels overwhelming. I did buy some new Switch and such, and I'm slowly integrating back into the gaming sphere. Question. Say you were teleported to the past like the 1980s, and you were able to share with gamers the future that awaits them. What games would you show off and what games would you tell them to avoid?
Oh, that's a good question. By the way, congrats on getting through basic, Sam.
Yeah, huge congrats.
I know that was a big goal for you for a long time, was joining the Army.
So. I know, and now it's come to fruition. It's awesome.
Well, I think it was Air Force, then it went to Army. But
Yeah. Still, nonetheless, serving in the military is not only honorable and commendable, but the fact that the journey and challenges you overcame to get there are truly inspiring. So really glad to hear it.
And he's getting married soon, by the way.
Yeah. A lot of changes in Sam Harris's life, all for the good. All good things.
But back to his question. I really like this question. I think it's good. What games would you show off to people in like the 1980s? What are the best games to show off that we have?
I would probably pick one from each genre because, you know, everyone's different. For shooters, I would probably show off...
Probably Warzone.
There's a lot of good shooters out there. I'd probably show off Doom Eternal, honestly. I think it's one of the best shooters I've ever played in my life by far.
That's a good one.
And I love many, many shooters, but I think Doom Eternal is accessible and it's awesome. So I would show off that.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I think I would go more in terms of like a multiplayer shooter, I think.
Any Call of Duty would suit just fine, I think.
Yeah. It's hard to know like which one. I guess it really doesn't matter. Maybe Black Ops 2. I still feel like Black Ops 2 was like the pinnacle of Call of Duty. Like I really do. I love that game looking back on
it. I'm still a Modern Warfare 2 guy personally.
Yeah, that was another really, really good one. What's for RPG? Like I still think one of my favorite RPGs is Witcher 3.
Yeah, Witcher 3 is awesome. We can't overlook. I know there's been a couple that have come out that I'm completely
Elden Ring. We got to show Elden Ring.
I thought about that. I'm like, it's just like, I mean, Elden Ring is so incredible, but I'm like, I mean, I guess Elden Ring.
I would 100% show Elden Ring. That would be like my number one RPG.
I'm just trying to think of a more, not that Elden Ring can't be accessible, but you know what I mean? More of that's like a really engaging, interesting story, but still
Breath
is an
RPG. Wild.
And Breath of the Wild kind of gives me the same vibe as Elden Ring in a lot of ways. Breath of the Wild would be up there for sure. That's such a fun game. If we had to pick between those two, I'd probably go Breath of the Wild personally.
That would be tough because I haven't finished Elden Ring, so it's kind of tough. I mean, they're both completely different. I mean, they're similar and they're also very different. Like Breath of the Wild is much easier than Elden Ring. I mean, maybe there are some points that are challenging in Breath of the Wild, but it's for the most part not too challenging. Can you pick your difficulty on that game? I can't remember.
You cannot.
I mean, I think exploring in both those games is actually equally rewarding. Like if you like find yourself in like a cavern in Elden Ring, there's probably a good reason to be there.
And thing about Elden Ring too that's way more impressive to me is that you think about Breath of the Wild, there are areas in just the open environment that are interesting to discover, but most of the dynamic experiences in that are in the shrines, which all the shrines individually are a lot of fun, but Elden Ring not only has like quote unquote shrines to explore, but just so many different diverse experiences inside, like within the depths of the world and even on just the exterior and like mountains and cap passages. And it's just fascinating how they crafted that world together. It's just a masterpiece.
Yep.
Sports.
What sport game? We're going to FIFA.
Probably FIFA. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we both like FIFA.
Racing, naturally probably be Forza.
Yeah, probably one of the newer Horizon games, I would say.
Or Mario Kart, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
But Forza would blow their minds in the 80s. If anyone in the 80s saw Forza, their brain would explode.
Yeah. I think we were just, like, if racing was just a thing, it would be Mario Kart. I think Mario Kart 8 is still just almost a perfect game.
Horror games, I'd say Dead Space. Of course, any Resident Evil could be a really good choice, too. But I think I'd go with Dead Space.
I think I would do Resident Evil 2, the remaster.
Man, that game's so awesome.
I want to play that game again. It's so good.
I kind of do, too, dude. I think when I'm in the mood, I'll play that again.
That was back when I was streaming, and that was just such a treat to stream. Like,
yeah.
Because you know how I am with scary games. Like, I'm just like sitting there like... tensed up, not knowing what's going to be around the next corner.
Yeah.
I love it.
Strategy, I don't know much about. So throw in like Civilization or Warhammer or something.
Probably be a Civ game for me.
So stuff like that, probably. Superhero games, Spider-Man, easy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I love the Arkham games, but probably Spider-Man. Anyway, that's a fun one. It's probably the majority of what I'd show.
Hope you're doing well, Sam. Seems like you are.
Dog God writes in and says, "Hello, friends. Throughout life, we are all forced to make certain decisions, some that are very big and some that are a bit smaller. Some are, however, so big that they entirely change the direction of, that our lives are headed in. Recently, I've made one such decision in the form of starting a new job, which fortunately still 100% revolves around dogs, but with the conditions that are pretty much better in every single way. Better pay, stability, benefits, yada yada. Yet I still feel a lot of regret due to having to leave behind the strong bonds I've forged in the past years I've been working at my previous job and the attachment to my former clients. How do you boys deal with potential regret following a decision that you ultimately know is better for you in every way? Somewhere within you, a voice is saying, oh, why'd you go and do that? You really had it well with your previous setup. What if something goes wrong?" And similar anxious thoughts reflecting the age-old saying, we know what we are, but we know not what we may be. How do you process the feeling of, I shouldn't have done that, even if it was the better decision? Both professionally and just in general, looking forward to your responses, for I'm in need of some reassurance. I've actually undergone similar thoughts myself recently, Jacob, but I'd love to hear from you first.
Honestly, part of life is just knowing how to, like, just do new things and try and make decisions that alter your life in some ways. Like, I've actually struggled with some of this stuff a lot in my past. I feel like I don't really deal with stress very well as a person. So anytime that I get stressed, I have like a lot of anxiety. I overthink things. I'll just sit around and contemplate like different scenarios in my head of like, oh, if I do this, then like my life's going to be so much worse, or I'll have to do all these other things because I made this decision. But I mean, if you never do any of, if you never make any of these choices, if you never take new risks or try new things or do new jobs, like you're just going to be doing the same thing for the rest of your life. You know, like you kind of have to put yourself out there. You have to do things that you don't want to do ultimately, just to grow as a human being, I feel like. And that's something still I struggle with, you know, to this day. But, you know, as you get older, as you do more and more things you're uncomfortable with, I think that, you know, it becomes less challenging. I mean, not always. There's still some things that are just always going to be a pain to deal with. There's things that you might love about your new job, and that are just so much better, but there might equally also be things that are just so awful. You'll like question why you even joined a new job to begin with, or why you're in the field that you're even in, for example. But just know that you're not alone, doggone. I think you've made the right decision because you're getting better pay, you have more stability benefits, yada, yada, as you put it. But I feel like you're doing the right thing. Like you got to do what's best for the long term. I know it's not always easy to make decisions for like the future because we live in the moment. Almost all of us do. It's really hard not to live in the moment with so much distractions and things that you'd probably rather be doing at the time than, you know, going to work, for example. I know I almost never think about work because I'd rather think about everything else that I'm interested in. It's really just a balancing act of, you know, doing or planning ahead so that you're not in a crisis when a moment of crisis comes, if that makes sense. I feel like I'm kind of just rambling, but hopefully I'm making some sort of sense here. How about you, Garrett? How do you feel?
I think you're making sense. It's a difficult thing to comment on because it really is different for everyone. It also depends on your worldview and your personal beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to work in particular, like in your case, I definitely had certain similar scenarios in my life. I don't have enough time to like really give you the details of these stories, but I will say you can usually trust your gut. I feel like, or at least I can. And I'm always disappointed in myself when I don't trust my gut and it results in a painful outcome. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully that hasn't happened too much with work, but ultimately for me, I don't know what this means to you, but there have been opportunities in my life that are what you're describing, you know, better pay, better benefits, this, that, and the other. When in reality, the more important factors, at least to me, did not equal those benefits. For example, you could pay me all the money in the world, give me all the best health benefits, all the other perks that come with specific roles. But if I'm working for someone or with people that just aren't good people, or I don't enjoy spending the majority of my hours of most of my days with, it's just not worth it to me.
That's a good
point. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate a good paycheck from time to time, but that is not my main motivator for what I do for work. Yeah. And now that's with me fully aware and prioritizing, paying my bills, taking responsibility for myself. But money and benefits have never been the primary motivator for me when it comes to work. I have to work with people that I am confident and proud and grateful to work alongside. Mm-hmm. And I've been in roles before that I've accepted because of the benefits and pay that ended up being pretty sour experiences that I ended up not sticking with very long, because that's the thought I have is, like, I'm going to be spending the majority of my days with these people, so it has to be worth it. So that's a big motivator for me. But if you're working for and with great people in this new role, I'd say rest in that. And I can relate to what Jacob was saying and what you're saying. I mean, I think everyone to some degree battles with creating scenarios in our minds and what could have been and the potential of what may or may not have been with certain situations. And even recently, I'm not going to go into detail, I went through this and it really messed me up for a couple of weeks. I'm dealing with tremendous regret and focusing on the what could have been had it gone this way or this thing had happened differently. That can eat you alive. And honestly, I was eaten alive for 2 weeks straight. And it sadly was a lesson I've learned before, just not to dwell on the past. Is it's like I try to undo the past in my mind and it's just poisoning. It's like it will completely shut me down mentally and emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that's just not healthy. And it's one of those things that sometimes can be a moment to moment battle of choosing not to focus on them. Like, I think it's important to process thoughts like that. Absolutely. Like, don't completely ignore them. But once you process them, do your very best to just let them go and not focus on them.
Don't dwell on them. Don't regret everything you've done.
That'll mess you up, man. It has certainly messed me up. And it's a lesson I have to continually learn to be reminded of. And I would say if it's a great thing and it makes sense, I'd rest in that and not focus too hard on the past. And I mean, there's a lot more I could say about that. But that's mostly how I feel about that situation.
He talks a little bit about having strong bonds at his old job with like past clients and stuff. But like that is hard to move on from if you're not bringing those clients with you. But I guess you kind of have to think at like the same time of all the new people that you can meet at your new job, assuming that you're doing something similar.
For sure.
There's just a whole different clientele of other people that you'll potentially meet, and like all the dogs that you might, form really strong bonds with. Like, you never know. Mm-hmm. All you can
and
do
that's
is
not to say too. I mean, we live in a very connected world now, so it isn't like you will never see these people again. You could always stay in touch on social media and whatnot. I don't know exactly how your role works with these jobs, but if there's like a dog you wanted to see at some point, or like an owner just to like catch up with, like we live in a very connected world, so it isn't like you're never going to see them again. Yeah, first of all, like, congrats on the new job. That's awesome. Yeah, if I could just say anything just after everything I've said, just like, process what you need to process about the past and like let it go. Because for me personally, I know like my past, present, and future are in God's hands. That's what I wholeheartedly believe. Don't have time to go down that rabbit hole either. But although I've certainly had regrets in my life, I just have to like lay them at the foot of Jesus. It's like I just can't go through my mind over and over and over again processing like, what if I'd said this differently or done that differently or made this decision instead? It'll just destroy you. And I just have to put that in God's hands and trust that he was with me there. He's with me now and he's way ahead of me. So I rest in that confidence knowing I have nothing to fear. So of course there's a lot of unpredictability in life, but that doesn't scare me either. That's just the way I live. It's what I believe. So take that as you will and apply it to your own life. But I think that's all I have to say for now, Jacob.
Yeah. I think that was a good closing. Very thought-provoking. Question though.
I love questions like that. I'm always down to answer deeper ones like that on the podcast.
Yeah. And we wish you the best. We know you've been listening for a long time. Always appreciate you reaching out and doing questions too.
Well, Jacob, we're going to end on a fun one.
Oh, I love
Chris from the Empty Promise podcast writes in and says, morning boys, tell me this. Who wins in a fight based on pure swordsmanship? Geralt of Rivia or Aragorn, Ranger of the North?
Oh gosh.
Good to have you back. Good to have you boys back at it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris, thanks for writing in, man. Greatly appreciate it. Purely on swordsmanship, man, that is really hard. Is when I think about Aragorn from the films, granted, I haven't read all the Lord of the Rings books. It may be a bit different in the books. But based on the films and Geralt of Rivia and Witcher 3 alone, swordsmanship. No signs, no magic, pure swordsmanship. That's a pretty fair fight.
I mean, I feel like I've seen more of Geralt. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, we've spent dozens upon dozens of hours in the games. So,
and we've seen the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
This is
because they both fought otherworldly beings. I mean, Aragorn's fought trolls, he's fought orcs, he's fought ring wraiths, and Geralt of Rivia's fought abundance of monsters and stuff as well.
Yeah.
I think they're a pretty fair fight, but I think the resilience of Geralt of Rivia, just his mutant build, he's a little more resilient than Aragorn is. Because Aragorn, at the end of the day, is just a man.
Yeah.
Where Geralt of Rivia is a mutant, so. Yeah, I think Geralt would probably take him.
A mutated killer. Like, he's created to kill things.
Yeah, like strength and stamina and resilience alone, I think he would take Aragorn. But I think it would be a pretty dope sword fight for a little while.
Yeah, I think it would. I think Aragorn could hold him off for a little bit, but I think just Geralt would be overpowering. Like, especially, we're not even considering like all the magic that Geralt knows, the potions that he would use. Like,
well, yeah, we're going based on pure swordsmanship, just like sword on sword. That's it.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm just thinking body versus body at this point. Like, obviously they're going to be dealing damage to each other. I think Geralt could take significantly more hits than Aragorn could.
Yeah, I think Geralt's just bigger too. Like, he's just stronger.
Yeah. Would be a good fight for a little while though.
Yeah, be a good fight watching these two men cut each other open.
Yeah.
Or maybe just Geralt wiping the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was 269 of the It's Obvious podcast. For those of you that still tune in, we cannot thank you enough. We're ashamed of our inconsistency. You know, like, life happens as always. We can't make any more promises about like being every week or every other week just because it's completely unpredictable at this point. But whenever we can do this podcast, we will do it. And if you still enjoyed it, it's available on all platforms for podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, blah, 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 blah. You can follow us on social media on Twitter, Instagram are the only two I think we still have at this point. And yeah, still love doing this, Jacob. It was great to catch up with you and talk about some games.
I love chatting with you during this. Let's try and not make it a month between next episode.
That'd be great.
Try and make it like maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah. At worst, bi-weekly, like we said. Like every other week would be great at worst.
Yeah. I'm usually free most weekends. So if you have a weekend that you got like a morning where you could get together, I'll probably be able to make it.
For sure. That'd be awesome.
Just keep that in mind.
You have any interest in seeing Sonic later tonight?
Tonight I might be going on a date, actually.
Nice.
Okay. But if I'm not, for whatever reason,
see Sonic with me.
Yeah.
Go on a date with me to Sonic.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah. As you know.
I mean, we could meet halfway at like North Point Mall or something if you wanted to.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
unless you feel like coming to Atlanta, we could do dinner date in a movie.
I won't be going to Atlanta for the date, but yeah.
Okay. I could be a third wheel and we could all go see Sonic.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll see what she wants to do, actually.
All right. Let me know, brother.
All we have is dinner planned right now.
Cool. Well, I love you to bits, Jake, and we love y'all.
Love you too.
And we'll catch you next time.
Yep. See you guys. Have a good week.
Later.